You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The country's pandemic-induced recession and subsequent job losses have been hard on women. The December jobs numbers were especially brutal. The Mountain West News Bureau's Maggie Mullen reports.
Rebecca Travers lives in Casper, Wyoming. Until late last year, the 42-year-old had been working at a nonprofit that helps volunteer organizations across the state.
I mean, that was my favorite part of the job, was not only helping people, but helping organizations that help people.
She says her job felt that much more meaningful during the pandemic, when so many in her community needed an extra hand.
Service and people have always been really important to me. That was something that drove me to go back to school at the age of 39 and finish my degree, because I wanted to help people.
Travers felt really secure in her job, but her organization wasn't immune from the ongoing economic downturn, and in mid-November, she lost her job.
I think the first 2 weeks after I got laid off were definitely the hardest.
Travers says it was a mix of emotions: anger, sadness, anxiety about what to do next. She's since been working part-time at a local grocery store. Plus, she says it's helpful that her longtime partner and her 18-year-old son remain employed, but she's still trying to figure out what to do in the long term.
It feels like I'm just starting over.
The pandemic-induced recession has hit women of color especially hard. 25-year-old Aaliyah Gonzalez is Latina and lost her job right at the beginning of the downturn and had to move back in with her parents in Buffalo, Wyoming.
It was hard not to be hard on myself about it and not feel like I had done something wrong.
Gonzalez had been living in Denver, working as a studio manager at an architecture firm. She says it was the first job she'd landed that actually aligned with her arts degree and what she was interested in doing with her life. Then in April, she got a call from a supervisor just before the lunch hour.
And she told me at noon I was officially furloughed until the end of April, and that's when they would decide if they still needed me or not.
They didn't. So Gonzalez spent most of the summer on unemployment to make ends meet.
And I did apply to many jobs, many jobs, while I was waiting to find something.
Gonzalez isn't alone either. Latinas have the highest unemployment rate at 9.1%, followed by Black women at 8.4%, while white women have the lowest rate at 5.7%. Elise Gold is with the Economic Policy Institute. She says the pandemic didn't necessarily create new problems for working women. It just revealed or magnified disparities that already existed.
It really mattered whether or not you had the ability to work from home, right? So if you have a higher paying job, you're more likely to be able to work from home. If you're white, you're more likely to be able to work from home. So you're sheltered from not only the health risks, but the economic shock of job loss.
Gould says we also know that the burden of many caretaking responsibilities falls on women disproportionately. So the fact that we now have lots of schooling happening at home is another difficulty.
If those mothers have to physically go to work, it's an impossible choice. They have to stay home, particularly with their younger children. They don't have an option. So they've been pushed out of the labor force in that way.
The economic picture for women is a far cry from the beginning of 2020, when gradual gains had been made. For instance, there was a three-month stretch where women held more jobs than men in the U.S. economy. That was only the second time to have happened ever. How soon or if things turn around for women? Gould says it will depend on a few things, like how quickly we get out of this recession and how quickly millions of kids go back to school. Plus, what our elected officials do about it.
You know, what happens with policymakers across this country, but notably federal policymakers, and what other relief packages they put together to not only provide additional unemployment insurance to those people who have lost their jobs, but also provide more state and local aid to help in the recovery and really to help people make ends meet through this time.
That help could be on the way with President-elect Joe Biden's proposed economic recovery package, which is substantial at $1.9 trillion. In the meantime, Aaliyah Gonzalez has started working as a temp for the United States Postal Service.
For now, it's a good job and it provides me health insurance,
which she says was big on her list during a pandemic. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Maggie Mullen.
And Maggie is joining us live now to talk a little bit more about this. Nice to have you back on the program, Maggie.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you reported on the December jobs numbers. So can you bring us up to speed? I mean, are things looking any better for women in the workforce now that we're into March?
The short answer is no, not really. Things are not looking much better for women in the workforce. You know, December was indeed especially terrible with women accounting for 100% of the job losses. And real quick, wow, that data point can sound kind of confusing for listeners. It can sound like, you know, there weren't any men that were laid off, when one way to understand it is for every man who lost a job in December, another man gained a job that same month. Mm. That said, economists will warn against reading too much into a single month, you know, since it doesn't always indicate a complete picture, but it's now March. We are a year into the pandemic, so we can take the long view. And what we know is that more than 2.3 million women have left the workforce since February 2020. And that kind of drop brings their participation in the labor force to levels that, you know, have not been seen since 1988.
Yeah. Well, and we've reported on this before, Maggie. I mean, these women, too, who are leaving the workforce aren't necessarily able to come back, because we know how difficult this is on working moms. I mean, you've talked about this, how online schooling has acted as basically a barrier for a lot of women to be able to go back into the workforce. So have you seen anything else that's made it even more difficult for working moms?
Right. And you know, like you said, the fact that schools are closed and daycares are closed means that those duties have largely landed on the shoulders of women, and it's forced many of them to either scale back their hours or leave the workforce entirely. And that's especially been true for Black and Latina mothers. But one barrier I think that is sort of hidden in plain sight is the perception of who is doing the caretaking and how much of it they're doing. I'm talking about the survey that the New York Times did way back in April that it asked parents with children under 12 about how they were managing. And it found that almost half of men said they do most of the homeschooling, while only 3% of women agreed with that. So you can see there is a huge disconnect. And I think that makes it hard for a lot of families to have honest conversations about, you know, making sure things at home are equitable. I mean, if you can't agree on how the domestic workload is being divvied up, it's going to be really difficult to sort things out. And the journalists behind that survey say part of why there might be that disconnect in perception is this generation of men does a lot of work at home that does more, you know, than their fathers or their grandfathers did. Mm-hmm. But it's still just not equal. So fathers are doing more. They're just not doing the same as mothers.
And it's one of those things where the work is done behind closed doors, right, Maggie? And what I mean by that is it's all of this added work that's done in the home. No one else sees it. I mean, trust me, these are conversations that take place in my house all of the time. Because of exactly that, you know? So in this moment, let's talk about the economic picture then for women, because it's dire right now. But do we have a long-term view or implications of what this means in the last year?
Right. So, I mean, the additional time that women typically spend on domestic work, especially childcare, that has huge consequences outside the home. And that was true way before the pandemic. For instance, it's a major reason for women's lower pay. They call it, in fact, the motherhood penalty, because on average, working moms are paid only 70 cents for every dollar paid to fathers, you know, not to mention just the overall pay gap that women face, regardless of if they are a mom or not. So how that pay gap could widen even further is, we know those long-term bouts of unemployment make it hard to not only find another job, but when you do find a job, your wages are likely to be lower, and that job may also be temporary and without benefits. Of course, we heard about Aaliyah Gonzalez. She was able to land that job with the Postal Service that had health insurance, but it also doesn't have retirement. So it's a temporary job. Another thing I'll say is debt. With so many women going without income for these long periods of time, experts say, you know, this could result in higher debt loads being carried by women, you know, thanks to these high interest credit cards they may take on to make ends meet.
You also mentioned, Maggie, schools opening back up in certain areas of the country, as well as President Biden's relief package as some potential solutions. But I mean, frankly, what else can be done? Because, yes, schools can open back up, which is great. With that said, though, women have been set back, I mean, frankly, close to a decade with this pandemic recession.
Right. You know, I think it brings up the point that Gould made in my story about, you know, the pandemic didn't create new problems. It just revealed them right. And sort of exacerbated them. So as long as workers are being stretched to cover things like childcare and other domestic tasks, while also trying to fulfill work obligations at the same time, employers will have to figure out a way to respond if they don't want to lose their workforce. And a lot of women's advocacy groups are saying it's now more important than ever to prioritize things like paid leave, paid sick days, as well as making childcare more available and more affordable. And also a congressional lawmaker in our region has some ideas about what can be done. I'm talking about Republican Senator Mitt Romney of Utah. He has proposed the Family Security Act, which would provide a monthly cash benefit for families. I believe it's $350 a month for each young child, and then $250 a month for each school-age child. So that's one solution that is currently being discussed.
Maggie, appreciate your reporting on this, and it is not the last time that we will be talking about this. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
We've been talking with reporter Maggie Mullen with the Mountain West News Bureau. We'll have more Idaho Matters next.